Wow, that was incredible. Thank you, Ben, for that. And if you're new to Grace, thank you so much for joining us. If you're watching online, thanks so much for joining us today and tuning in. My name is Miguel. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a privilege I get to be a part of this church. And I love saying the word awesome. If you're around me a lot, I say awesome a lot. I don't know if it's a Christian word now, but it's awesome. I say incredible, and I say all those things, those kind of descriptors. But you and I know, like, words change over time. And how many of you here have ever used the word groovy? Wow. If you're watching online, the audience just lit up. Groovy, yeah. You've actually said it, like, in context, in the right time and era, right? It was good. You say groovy now, you're like, what? Wait, what are you saying? We say different words. You say groovy, or there's a time I heard that people used to say, that's boss, right? I got an amen over here, like, amen. Yeah, great. If you grew up by the coast like I did, I grew up in San Diego, the San Diego coast, and you're around surfers, so you say, like, rad. You know, like, bro, that was rad, dude. You bookend your sentences with bro and dude. If you're, you know, anyway. So you say that. You say cool. You know, that's cool, or that's rad, or I. This is another one. That's sick. You heard that one before? When I said that when I was young, I said it to a pastor friend of mine. I'd say, hey man, you're sick. And he goes, actually, no, I'm feeling pretty good. Like, no, you don't get it, right? Currently, there's usually another one that's kind of more recent. It's like dripping. That's dripping, or you came in dripping. That's, again, saying, like, you look good. You came in dripping, right? And you're cool. Like, see, oh man, I'm starting some things here. It was good. So all kinds of things, but words change, right? Like, all these different meanings for words. And there's a word in the Bible I want to talk about today, and it's the word believe. It's the word believe, and it's so important for us to understand what the word believe really means, because all throughout the Bible, what we find are phrases like believe in Jesus or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And you'll be saved if you believe. And so, kind of an important thing for us to understand the word believe. But there are different ways to believe, and actually the Bible says in James 2:19 that even the demons believe. Here's what it says in James 2:19. You believe that God is one. This is James talking to the church. You do well, like, you're correct in that, right? But even the demons believe, and yet they shudder and tremble, right? So obviously the demons are not saved, right? That's different. There's a different kind of believing. And so what does it really mean to believe? Really important question here. What does it really mean to believe? And I love seeing the child, you know, dedication time we had and the children that came up, because when I was a kid, I grew up going to church, and my mom kept us in church, and we memorized verses, you know, whether it's through like an Awana program or Sunday school or kids ministry, we learned verses, a verse of the week or whatever. And one of the earliest verses I remember was a verse that uses the word believe in it. And it's probably arguably the most quoted verse in the Bible, whether you're in the church or outside the church. It is a very popular verse, and you probably know it. It's John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he," I feel like, you know, "that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is like, you learn this as a child. You hear this and memorize as a child, and man, it is an incredible verse. But we know James says, even the demons believe and yet they shudder, and we know that there's different ways that we can take the word believe. What does it really mean to believe? And I love the book of John and the Gospels, or the biographies of Jesus. John writes one of the biographies of Jesus. We call it the Gospel of John. And he writes with a very specific agenda. He says in John chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." I mean, he's writing just for us to know and understand and get that man, we have to believe in a very specific way. I'm writing that you might believe. And all throughout John, You got to understand, like, John, he's the young disciple, you know. He's writing this book, so he's highlighting a lot of the amazing things of Jesus and his miracles and the I am statements and all these things. John, it's an incredible book, and all throughout he's using these believe phrases. Like, I'm just going to list some for you. John 3:18, whoever believes is not condemned. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John 5:24, whoever hears my word and believes has eternal life. John 6:35, whoever believes me will never thirst. John 6:47, whoever believes has eternal life again. John 7:38, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. John 12:46, whoever believes in me will not remain in darkness. So I can't say it enough. It's pretty important for us to understand what it really means to believe. Because what we believe determines how we behave. What you and I believe, ultimately, that will determine how we act and live and behave. And again, John 3:16, most quoted verse, right? Arguably most quoted verse in the Bible. Great, powerful gospel message verse, right? I'm like, that's a go-to for us. But the context, listen closely, the context of John 3:16 is actually found in the two verses right before John 3:14 and 15, and it's verses that most of us don't even realize it's there. We just jump right to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? But John 3:14 and 15, here's what it says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now again, you're looking at that going, okay, what serpent, Moses, what's going on? What does that mean? I don't know. That is actually, it's a story that Jesus is using to show and define the word belief. It's a story found in Numbers 21. It's probably one that you did for your devotions this morning, right? In the book of Numbers. Very popular devotion, you know, book. No, but Numbers 21. So here's what we're going to do. We got to go back there real quick. Numbers 21 is Moses in the wilderness. He just let his people out of Egypt, right? And now they've been in the wilderness for 38 years. They'll be in there for a total of 40 years, wandering the desert, wandering the wilderness. There's been plagues. This is the 10th plague that I'm about to read about. And now this is what's going on. This is the people of it. They grew impatient. They grew hungry. And God provided food, and they had the same food for a very long time. It's a food that was called manna. It's a Hebrew word that just means, what is it? It's a good, it's Bible stuff, man. It's good stuff in the Bible. You know, an Israelite guy woke up one day and goes, oh, what is it? You know, maybe that's how it happened. I don't know. But it's manna. They had manna every day. Could you imagine? The same food every single day, right? You know, none of us complain about food, right? So we don't get it. So it's like, you know, manna burgers, right? Banana manna bread, right? Manicotti. No, okay. I got to stop. Eventually, I'll just lose it. But they had manna every day, right? So here's what's going on. Numbers 21, let me just read some of the story so we get and we can understand what's happening in John chapter 3. Here's what it says, Numbers 21. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient. Wow, something we never do, right? On the way, right? Are we there yet? Come on. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread. See, even carbs back then was a problem, okay? It's always been, okay. There's no bread. There's no water. And we detest this miserable food. What are they talking about? The manna. We detest it. And then watch this. This is good Bible right here. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. That took a hard right turn, right? They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said this, and this is so important. Listen to this. We sinned when we spoke against the Lord. Yeah, you did, right? Oops, my bad, right? But here's what's critical to understand. If we're talking about what does it really mean to believe, one of the things that has to happen as you get to a place where you're really understanding what it means to believe You and I must understand that we have sinned against God, that we have made mistakes. The word sin is just an archery term that means to miss the mark. What mark? Perfection, the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short, missed the mark, the glory of God. We call it today being human. We make mistakes. So you and I, we have to get to a place where we go, I am not perfect. I have sinned. I've missed the mark. And this is critical, right, for us to get into a right relationship with God. So they say, we've sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Okay. Now again, in my head, I'm listening to this story and I'm going, I don't know what kind of snake it was. But in my head, I'm going, maybe it was like a sand viper, like something like this. Maybe this is what they saw, right? Yeah, you're with me. Yeah, yep, that was it. That was the snake. It's like Satan's snake, right? You know, it's sand viper. Okay, and I don't know. I don't know if like hemotoxin, neurotoxin. I don't know. I'm not a snake expert. But whatever it was killing the people. It was really bad. It was hard. And it was very, very scary, right? You know, snakes on a plane kind of situation. And it was bad. Snakes. And then here's what happened. Okay, let me just read the last couple of verses here in Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9. It says this. The Lord said to Moses, so Moses is praying for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So the name of the snake on a pole in Hebrew is called the Nehushtan. Everyone say Nehushtan. Because I'm tight. Bless you. So what happened was, just as a side note here, you snake on a pole. Has anyone ever seen a symbol with a snake on a pole that looks like this? Has anyone ever seen this? You're like, oh, grasshopper. Yeah. 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 It's like your mind's like, oh, okay. Now, okay. Side note, in history, the Greeks will get the credit for this. Greek mythology and all that they created this symbol, and they created this. Okay, that's fine. But long before the Greeks was number 21 and a creative God who said, snake on a pole is going to represent healing for the people. Okay, and now to this day, we have signs on our medical symbols in our hospitals, our ambulances, that all is snake on a pole. Where did it come from? Numbers 21. Your Bible is legit, okay? So real quick. Imagine you're an Israelite person, mom or dad, or Israelite, you know, student or kid in this time, okay? You see everywhere. People are dying from snake bites. Moses, please, you know, we're complaining. We sinned against God. We need God to save us. So Moses goes and prays. He comes back with this very, very strange approach to heal, you know, to heal the people, to help the people, right? Because what Moses does, right, he gathers the people, right, some kind of assembly maybe, and you're in this state, you're in Israel. Okay, Moses has got a plan. He's going to take away the snakes. This is going to be good. And, you know, maybe the first thing Moses said is, hey, real quick, snakes aren't going anywhere. You know, it's a hard leadership moment for Moses, right? How do I lead through that? Okay. Snakes aren't going anywhere. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to make a snake and wrap it around a pole. And they're like, what? Like, again, you're listening to this. You're like, you've never heard of anything like this before. I mean, maybe you went along with like, man, my mom has a really good remedy for this, right? You know, moms in the room, maybe you grew up like where your mom had a very specific way of like healing and helping whenever you got like, you know, bumps or bruises or, you know, or scraped your knee. Your mom had a very specific way to do it, right? Maybe you threw like a stake, you know, you hit your head, you put a stake on your, you know, or on your eye. Maybe the ice pack, it's a little cleaner, a little easier, right? What my mom did, when I bumped my head, she was like, okay, Miguel, hold still. And she would violently rub my head where I bumped it and just, aah! And I'm like, ah, the pain. She's like, don't worry, I'm doing this because I love you. And she's just rubbing hard. I'm like, this is crazy. You know, and afterwards, there'd be no bump. And I'm like, but I got brain damage, I'm pretty sure. Like, you know, That's how my mom did it, right? This is a very peculiar way for the people to hear. How are we going to get healed? We have to look at a snake, the very thing we're running from, on a pole, and then we'll be healed. Come on. I have to think that there may have been some people who just didn't believe that. Who just thought, I don't know. I don't know about that one, Moses. You know, you've stayed on the mountaintop a little too long. The air's thin up there, bro. Like, I don't know. That sounds strange. So again, imagine you're an Israelite. You hear this assembly program about a snake on a pole, which is ridiculous. You're going, I've never heard of this before. And now, then, you know, you leave. He puts up this snake, and you're like, okay, cool. And you walk away from there, okay? Then all of a sudden, as you're walking, because there's no cars or bikes, you know, you got to walk with sandals, maybe even barefoot. You're walking, and then all of a sudden, oh, a snake just bit you, okay? Oh, it's painful. All of a sudden, the person next to you goes, bro, your leg just grew 10 pounds. Like, whoa, what's going on? It's painful, right? Okay, how would you know that that person believed? Believe the instruction from God through Moses, right? How would you know? They would have to turn, right, and look at the snake that's on a pole, okay? But again, I'm venturing to say that there may have been some people who got bit and go, I don't believe that. I got this. I'll do it on my own way of salvation. I'll figure it out. I don't need that. That's weird. That's not going to work. I need to wrap this, man. Suck the venom out. I mean, I knew something. Like, I watched enough Animal Channel. I need to be able to, you know, I can figure this out on my own. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, there must have been some people who may have gone their own way. I mean, it was such a simple instruction, arguably even foolish for them to turn and look. And again, you're in this day. You get bit. If you believe, your life depends on it. What you're probably going to do is there's going to be a behavior that follows that belief. You're going to, oh, I got bit. Oh, gah, I can't see it. Get out of my way. Gah, like you're going to try just to get a line of sight. You're going to do everything possible. Gah, I can't get there yet. Hold on. I can't see. Okay. Put me up on this. You lift me up. Like you pick me up. Like whatever it takes, right? Let's just say your friend gets bit and they don't even believe in it. I don't believe Moses and the snake on a pole whole approach of healing me. That's not going to work. I don't care what you believe. Fireman carry, boom, you're on my shoulders. Let's go. Can you see it? Now listen, you can't force them to look, but I'll drop them at the foot of the pole, right? I'll drop right there, man. Do you see it? You still can't see. Come on. You see it now? You good? Okay, because I'm really exhausted right now. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, the belief part comes not because you just understand it. The believing comes, right? Because you're everything. You're looking at it. You're staring at it. You have this line of sight, and nothing's gonna stop you, right? Because you believe, and you've just been bitten. You understand this now. This is what's going on. And here's what I love about this whole illustration, this story. If you're bit, you don't have to do anything to heal. You don't have to say, okay, first you have to make sure you wrap your leg. You got to make sure you put this on it. Put this, we're going to provide a cream for everybody. And you know, you could just rub it on there really good or something. You know, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is turn and look. And you will live and you'll be healed. This is what, it's not about achieving anything. It's not about achieving, it's about believing and receiving. It's not about earning. There's nothing that you have to do. We're just going to provide a way. God's going to provide a way for you to be healed from the venomous snake bites that are going on. So when you're bitten, you just turn and look. Turn and look. Isaiah 45, verse 22 says this, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Look to me and turn. That word turn, that's what the word repent means. It's to do a 180. It's to turn. So you've been bit by a snake. He goes, nah, turn, change direction. Turn and look to me. This is what it means to believe. This is what John is describing in this chapter, to believe in me, to believe in Jesus. And I love the chapter of John 3. Here's why. John chapter 3, John 3:16, all of this is right smack in the middle of a conversation with a religious leader named Nicodemus. And I find it so appropriate, so interesting, that the only time Jesus decides to illustrate and define the word believe was to a religious leader who knew the scriptures and understood the Bible. And Jesus is saying, you think you know what it means to believe, to be saved. You think you do, but you don't. I'm going to correct it. Just like Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, watch this, so the Son of Man will be lifted up on a cross. And anyone who believes will have eternal life. Then John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in me. Not belief that just says, I agree that it took place. I agree that there's a man named Jesus who died on the cross. I'm aware that that took place. No, because even the demons believe and yet they tremble. No. To believe, I've been bit. Where is it at? Oh, I think I see it. Stop. I think I see it. Okay. And if anything, if you're an Israelite person, you know what you probably would do? You probably would not drift from the snake on a pole very far. If anything, you would cling to it. Right? Man, I'm staying right here. This is where I find my source of strength and healing and power, right? It's right there. And you say, man, just the Son of Man will be lifted up. And anyone who believes like that, believes, will have eternal life. To trust in, to rely on, to cling to, that's what it means to believe. And I have to say this, that one of my greatest concerns as a pastor, right, as a minister of the gospel and this life-changing message, one of my concerns is Matthew 7. Matthew 7 that says that many will come to him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. What does it mean to believe? This is what it means to actually place your trust in him. I believe, so I'm going to turn. I know I'm a sinner. I'm going to turn and look. So here's what I want to do. I want to just lead us in a prayer right where you're at. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads real quick. And maybe today, for the first time, you're finally understanding what it means to believe in Jesus, to really believe that it's not this intellectual assent, this intellectual awareness of the cross and of Jesus, but to really believe, to place your trust, to rely on him, to make him Lord of your life. Like, that's what it means to believe. And there's a very specific behavior that will follow. You will turn and look to him. And maybe today, that is true for you. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And you can say this just in the quietness of your heart. Something like this. Dear Jesus, I know I have sinned. I've made mistakes. I've missed the mark. I've sinned against you. And you provided a way for me to live by dying on the cross and raising from the dead on the third day. And today I believe in Jesus. Not just this intellectual awareness, not just this understanding, but to really believe, to trust in you. I believe today. And from this day forward, I give you my life. I surrender it all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look up at me real quick. Just as important as it is for us to believe, and some of you just did that for the first time. just as important as it is for us to believe, it is just as important for us to know how to come to Jesus. And there's a beautiful picture, and guess what? We all saw it today. There's a beautiful picture that Jesus has in Matthew, and he uses a child out as an illustration. Here's what he says. He called a little child to him, placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you," everyone listen. He's saying, hark, listen, this is the truth. "Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes this lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 18, here's what that means. Like a child, we're gonna come to Jesus completely vulnerable, completely surrendered as innocent with everything we are and everything that we're not. And we're saying, "I need a savior." When Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished." What is finished? Our way of salvation is finished. Sacrifice after sacrifice, religion, all those things. Our way of salvation, your way of salvation is finished. He said, "It is finished. I've paid it all." At one time, that's what atonement means. At one time, Jesus paid it all. Therefore, we don't have to achieve it or earn it. We just believe and receive and turn and look at the cross. That, my friends, is called the gospel. That's good news for you and me. That's the gospel and the redeeming power of Jesus, that you and I have been bitten by the venomous snake called sin. We've made mistakes and we cannot save ourselves. And so God has provided a way through his son, Jesus, for us to turn to and look and have life in him. So as a child, right, as vulnerable, maybe even as public as it feels like a child sometimes, I'm gonna ask if you today made a decision in the quietness of your heart to really believe, I'm gonna ask you to do something courageous. It's gonna cause you to humble yourself. I'm gonna ask you to come forward, and there'll be sticky notes on this stage. I want you to write your name on that sticky note, then walk over to this cross and place it at the cross. And what you're saying is, you're saying, "I'm gonna publicly say, I believe." Again, you've been bit by a snake. It doesn't matter what the person next to you thinks. Your eternal life is at stake. It's gonna turn. So whether you're in the balcony or way up in the bleachers or right here on the floor, while we play this song, "Oh, Come to the Altar," I pray that you would have the courage to say, "Today I believe in Jesus. Today I believe, I really believe in him." Then we're gonna ask you to come forward, write your name on the sticker, and place it on the cross.